Play on this podcast with the click of curiosity. It is another dimension, a dimension of mind, a dimension where nothing is sacred and everything is explainable. You're streaming into a land of both inside and outside, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Midside.
Welcome to the Midside. I'm Justin M. Lesneski, and I did not frame Roger Rabbit. Neither did Bob Hoskins, so he didn't deserve to die. Joining me this week, via Skype from Austin, Texas, Daniel T. Richards.
It's hot here now. It was cold, and now it's hot.
You went with the weather bit. I thought you had a whole, like, dip joke lined up about Bob Hoskins, and you went with weather.
I felt like that was inappropriate. I thought about it, and then I thought, no matter who it is, dipping someone's body in acid is kind of offensive so close to their death.
So you went with the more boring weather comment.
Of course I did.
Also joining me, and we're sure he's going to come up with something that's much more interesting than weather, via that chair in my kitchen, Clayton, middle initial, Spivey.
Hey, it's good to be back after my 1 week suspension. I learned my lesson. Slap on the wrist.
1 week suspension and $2.5 million fine.
Yes.
All right, all right. How about we start with some consumer feedback this week? All right, so what we have for consumer feedback is we have some comments that were either left on my personal site, themidside.com, or on our posting on talkbacker.com. So the first one is by me. And I don't mean that I posted it. I mean somebody posted it under the name me. I'm assuming it's my old roommate from Clemson, Matthew Ross. So, Matt, if it's you, thank you for listening or at least posting random shit on my site. If not, whoever you are, you get inside jokes. So the comment is banana shit sandwiches. And if anyone's wondering about the context of that, is in Clemson, for some reason, we got the Sundance Channel without having to pay for it. And one time we watched a movie called called Sleeping Dogs Lie by Bobcat Goldthwait. And in the end, it was the woman was trying to hide her secret that she had once had sex with a dog. And we got to the end of the movie, and I was like, that's it? That's the secret she's been hiding? This is a retarded movie. And Matt turned to me and he said, it's a movie by Bobcat Goldthwait. You're lucky the meaning of the movie wasn't... banana shit sandwiches! So that sort of became an inside joke.
Wait, so she had sex with a dog?
Right, and she was trying to hide the fact that she had sex with a dog.
How did they orient that?
They didn't show it. It was something that happened in her past that she was hiding.
It's probably doggy style.
Yeah.
The next comment is from Puck Propaganda. And while I may have received comments this week for my soothing voice, Puck Propaganda says that Daniel's mm-hmms are so catchy. So there you go.
I think they are, yeah.
There you go. You can take that he just did, and you can turn that into a internet meme or something, just a YouTube loop, maybe.
I think it would make a good ringtone.
Yeah. Is that the ringtone on your own phone, Daniel?
No, the ringtone on my own phone is silence.
So you don't want anyone calling you ever?
No one does. That's why it's silent.
There you go. No, you can call me. I just don't care.
Oh. Well, can we call you stupid like the next comment did?
Absolutely.
So not to overinflate your ego by saying your mm-hmms are catchy, the next commenter, Sagamanis, called you out and he said, Obama a socialist and a nihilist? He's definitely not the former, and if he was, he couldn't be the latter. Not to mention the last word is overused for inappropriate subjects, conflating things that don't even apply. So what do you have to say to that, huh, Daniel?
I have to say that, you know, this is one of those times when you've made a mistake, and you just have to admit it. I know it's rare for me or anyone on this podcast to make a mistake, let alone admit to make, well clearly. But
and Elliot last week with his whole Obama from Kenya thing.
Well, clearly anyone who isn't us making a mistake.
Because you need a middle initial.
Right, that's... Science has now shown, if anyone saw that study this week, middle initials make you smarter.
I was still hiding under the assumption of the doctor. Some anonymity that I forgot I no longer had.
Sure, we'll go with that. Like the rest of the internet. See, I completely made a mistake and I admit it. And you know who pointed out to me this week that I made the mistake was not Sagamemnon, or whatever his name is, Sanctimonious. No, it was, in fact, Rob Schneider, my good friend, Rob Schneider, star of The Stapler, pointed out to me that Obama is, in fact, not a socialist. He is, in fact, a fascist. And since fascism is the form of government where people maintain private property, but the government controls everything you can do with it, technically Obama is a fascist nihilist bastard. So glad we cleared that up. Thank you for your comment. It's always good to have constructive criticism.
Rob Schneider is a carrot. Barack Obama is a fascist.
Derpy, 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 diddly, derpy, dumb.
All right, well, if all of that is true, some people aren't going quietly into the good night. Daniel, you want to tell us what the anarchists have been up to this week?
Well, aside from trying to bring down the entire government, anarchists in Seattle have decided to target the next best thing, Uber. Yes, the ride-sharing company that most people love and adore is being targeted by anarchist groups who say that multiple families will lose a significant portion of their monthly income when Uber overtakes smaller taxi services.
Wait, so since when did anarchists start caring about what Indians did for work?
Already with the racism. My God, we're literally 4 minutes into the podcast.
That was JML, not me.
That was too easy. That was just like sitting right there.
We are only getting started. Wait till the next.
And I love how you said that most Americans love Uber. Are most Americans even aware of what Uber is?
No.
Most Americans who Clayton do not. Are you not aware?
I know
the greatness.
I know what Uber is, but I personally have never been in a taxi.
No. Okay. So. Well, I've been in a taxi, and they're fairly terrible. In fact, my most recent ride in a taxi was a 30-minute lecture about why I shouldn't use Uber.
Well, that would make sense. That must be what they're all getting together and talking about in the taxi cab union meetings.
Right, except it was in a really thick Ethiopian accent that I could barely understand, but nonetheless. So the anarchists are basically saying that Uber is an evil corporate company that's going to destroy the livelihoods of people. And so they're doing things like gathering around their cars on busy Saturday nights and not letting them drive, intimidating passengers. They haven't
done
any violence yet. But,
I mean, if the standard is destroying people's lives, taxi cab drivers are destroying people's lives by taking away the business from the people who could be driving taxi cabs if they weren't driving taxi cabs.
Well, I think they should go after taxi cabs for eliminating the rickshaw business.
Right.
I'm a big fan of rickshaws.
Or what about the fact that they would build a better public transit system on the West Coast if there were no taxi cabs? So what about all the construction people, all the engineers who are losing jobs because that's not being done?
I think the anarchists are really losing sight of the goal, which is no government. Isn't that what you're supposed to do as an anarchist?
That's it. That's what I thought anarchy was supposed to be. And I mean, unless these, it was a government-owned driving service, which I mean, I don't think we have, correct?
Like, well, I mean, the irony of that is that the taxi cab system is basically a government monopoly. It's a cartel on rides that you would think that the anarchists would start there and say, bring down the taxi cartels, long live Uber and Lyft.
This is one of the greatest ironies of the anarchist movement, though, right? And I see this a lot in punk culture, and I've always hated it. Like, when I was always going to Warped Tour when I was young, I never understood why all the anarchists would be like, yeah, fuck the government, fuck our racist capitalist society, vote for John Kerry. And I was like, I was kind of with you. Like, I hate racism, I hate the government, and I'm all for freedom. But then, like, I don't know how you got to John Kerry from there, because he's advocating to increase the size of government. So, yeah, you're right. It's very weird that somehow the anarchists ended up with a stronger centralized government. It doesn't really make any sense.
Right.
Ignorant anarchy. But are they going to start going after the pink mustache people now?
The lifters?
Do you have pink mustaches where you're at?
Well, we do, but this is Austin, so they mean something very different.
Yeah, I was like, why do anarchists hate gay people?
Yeah, you don't want to ride in a car with a pink mustache in Austin. That's not, you're not, it's a different type of ride.
No, here in Southern California, we have the big fuzzy pink mustaches that go on the front of cars, and anyone can get one and be their own taxi service.
Yeah, indeed. No, I mean, I love Uber. They've saved me so much money in cities where I can use them. Austin is a little mini socialist utopia in a sea of bizarre conservatism. So we don't have Uber and Lyft because of city regulations.
By the way, I love how where you live is like, if you go outside the city limits, you deal with one type of retardedness. If you go inside the city limits, you deal with another type of retardedness.
Yeah, it's, I mean, don't get me wrong. I absolutely adore Texas, and for the most part, I love Austin, but the city politics here are just plain stupid.
Is it like walking through a portal when you cross through the city lines? Like, if you're driving an Uber car through the city lines of Austin, does it blow up when you go into the city?
Right. Well, when you're leaving, they actually hand you a shotgun and a hat. So, and not like a cowboy hat, like a trucker hat.
Ew.
Speaking of giving in to demands, Subway in the UK is removing ham and, yes, sadly, bacon from 185 of its stores after strong demand from Muslim customers. So under Islamic law, Muslims are prohibited from eating what's called non-halal meat or meat from pigs. And basically that means meat that isn't prepared in a certain way, that way being the animal has to be conscious while they slit its throat and kill it. Yay, religion. And so Subway had to remove things like their meatball sandwich, the Italian BMT, the spicy Italian, and the steak and cheese.
That's like everything I eat in that place.
It's basically an affront to America, even though it's in the UK.
I mean, this is insane. Like, if you don't want to eat something, don't eat it. It's like, there's a dude and a chick there, and you might, if you're gay, you don't want to go, I won't use the word eat, but if you don't want to go fuck the chick, so don't do it, even though she's in your vicinity. You don't have to eat what's in front of you. You know?
Good advice for any gay guys out there, who were almost about to fuck that chick.
I don't get it. One of my closest friends is Muslim, and we get a pizza half with like pepperoni on it, half just cheese, and she's fine. It was close in the vicinity. Like, people need to get over themselves.
I was watching him very closely there because I was sure that was going to go horribly wrong.
You're sure there was going to be another 1 week, $2.5 million fine.
I was going to be rich and like, whenever Clayton makes all that money.
All that internet money. So, I mean, part of this is that if anyone knows about what's been going on in Britain, there's been a lot of what people call Islamization of Britain, which is more and more places sort of giving into Sharia law and very Muslim traditions as more and more Muslims immigrate to Britain. So there's a couple things here that require nuanced discussion. One is, of course, that Subway can absolutely remove ham and sadly bacon from its menus if they think they're going to make money by doing so. But two, where does this end? Where does this kowtowing to religious belief end?
I don't think it's kowtowing to religious belief. I think it's being overly PC and to Islam specifically. I think if you had the Christian religion or the Catholic religion saying, oh, you can't eat this, you can't eat that, I don't think they would put such an effort into meeting their wishes. It's just for the company to appear that they're being all PC towards Muslims.
Right, Daniel, it's what you always say. It's the egalitarian movement, and where it ends is a null of zero. That's the only place it can logically end, because people are individualistic, necessarily there will always be a difference, and the only way to remove that difference is to destroy life.
Yeah, that's a very deep and dark statement, but I think it's correct. Yeah, I, Clayton, to your point, I absolutely, I mean, yes, specifically
don't
it is
the dark side.
It is the Muslim religion in this case.
And we don't have cookies because it's the fucking dark side, so why would we give you good things? That makes no sense.
Subway actually has interesting cookies. But
raspberry cheesecake cookies.
Really?
Yes, they're delicious.
I didn't know that. Hmm. Interesting. But, you know, one of the interesting things, it's not in this article, but Oklahoma, for instance, just put up a statue to Satanism on city property after a petition and protest from the Satanists.
Come on, you have to admit, all of this hoopla over religion and being PC kind of makes L. Ron Hubbard look even more brilliant. He didn't just hoodwink people, he created an entire religion that is basically at the forefront of doing all this. Right? Because Scientology just uses all the laws to their advantage to basically bully everyone.
Yeah. It's interesting. I don't know. I think if you had asked Aristotle if we would still be, if religion would still have this much influence in our lives, basically 4,000 years after he lived, I think he would have laughed at everyone. And now look at us.
I think he would have said he doesn't care about stupid fiction that sounds like Mendeloff or Orky or Korsman wrote it.
Roberto. Speaking of removing ham, the NBA saga of removing Donald Sterling for life and trying to make him sell the Clippers is getting more and more complicated by the nanosecond. In a Sports Illustrated article, they basically outline the entire legality of his suspension and his fine and all the possible legal pitfalls of forcing him to sell the team. And the whole thing is a giant racist clusterfuck.
Yeah, I found that article to be really, really awesome because my immediate response to when this happened was, what the fuck is going on? How do you ban a person who owns a team from the league? Like, he owns it. You can't just be like, you don't own the team anymore. Like, legally, he owns it. So I clearly don't support his comments. I'm not Clayton. So, obviously, his comments are wrong, but that doesn't mean you can just take away his shit. Like, can you imagine that? Like, they go into your house, oh, by the way, you said something racist once, give us your Space Jam DVD.
But I mean...
Not the Space Jam DVD!
You cannot ever watch Roots ever again.
I mean, could there have been, I mean, do we know if there was some type of morality clause in his contract with the team when he bought them?
Right, basically the actual legality of it is it's like a homeowners association. So if the other, however many owners there are in the NBA, vote that they don't want him to own the team anymore, they can force him to sell it. But if he sells it at a lower value than he would have sold it if he had not been forced out, they have to like make up the difference. So if like he right. sells it for $150 million and he would have sold it for $500 million, then they would have to give him the extra, whatever, was it $350 million?
Oh, boo-hoo, he's getting a $500 million check.
Look, well, that's not even the ridiculous thing about this story. His right. girlfriend is half black. Uh-huh. He pays, as Daniel pointed out to me this week, he pays Blake Griffin. Maybe this guy's just racist against full black people, but he likes half black people. But, Blake Griffin all that money. He pays Chris Paul. He pays Doc Rivers all this money. And he's racist.
Right. The head coach for the Clippers, Doc Rivers, is the second highest paid coach in the league.
That's because he's awesome.
So, yeah, there are a couple of things. One is, to the specific point about a morality clause, one of the things that makes this difficult and why the owners may not readily vote to make him sell is that there isn't immorality clause. There are things in the contract that you say that you can't do, but none really relate to saying something racist in the privacy of your home that accidentally gets leaked.
Right. None of them say, well, what if you're an owner who lives in Los Angeles where every bitchy gold-digging woman knows how to use TMZ to her advantage? Because that's really what
exactly.
happened here, right?
Right.
And have you heard the super conspiracy theories that this is all set up by Magic Johnson just so he can buy the Clippers?
Well, no, have you listened to the recording of him saying all these racist things?
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting.
It sounded extremely, like, scripted.
Well,
why
right.
Why would he want to sabotage
I have, that, that's the thing. I didn't get it, but it sounded scripted. Either.
Hey, honey, let's role play again tonight so I can get comments of you saying racist things on
totally
TMZ.
That's what it sounded like. She sounded super fake. He sounded like he was reading a script. I don't know if he was having a stroke during it or something.
Hey, honey, can you read my screenplay about racist NBA owners?
Right. So, well,
come on,
there's
a good
so
one. No
much.
One laughed?
Well, the audience is laughing. You can't hear them, Justin, because we're not recording this in front of a live studio audience.
They're in the future.
They are. But so there are so many elements to this story that I don't know where to begin. So the first of which is that the woman, the girlfriend, by the way, is defending him and saying that she's not the one who leaked it. And that her entire thing is that she has been hired as a scribe. Because he's so old, he doesn't remember anything. So she literally has been hired to record everything he ever says or does. And that someone else leaked this. Which is why it sounded scripted, is what she said. Because she makes him repeat things and whatever. Two.
Wait, is this an episode of Law and Order?
It sounds like it. Two, I'm pretty sure the girlfriend's a man.
I mean, it's like you find out in the third act that the supposed girlfriend's actually just a scribe.
I thought I saw somewhere that he's actually still, is he still married to some chick and this is just a side girl?
Rich people don't follow the same rules as the rest of us, Clayton. Come on.
And his girlfriend wears, or like his glorified hooker, essentially what she is, she wears like this weird mask.
You don't say hooker anymore, you call them scribes.
Scribes.
Yeah. She's a real Scrivener in the bedroom.
Yeah. She didn't get
she's a real she's a real Bartleby.
Yeah. I was trying to turn that.
I'd rather not.
She didn't get carpal tunnel from writing.
Yeah. So, and the other thing is, so yes, he is married. He's under a divorce. But again, this scribe whore is claiming that she's not his girlfriend.
Is she a subscribe whore?
Oh, God. So the whole thing is just a cluster frack of ridiculousness.
Like this segment.
Basically the entire podcast, but, so.
That comment is not an endorsement of Donald Sterling or anything he has ever said. This message is brought to you by Justin M. Wisniewski. Thank you.
So that's the other thing about this, right? Is the whole cultural implications, which is what this podcast really tries to look at in some way. And
penis.
As I was saying to you earlier this week,
why he doesn't like the black people on his podcast, but on his team, because he's jealous.
Yeah. Are you saying that white people have? Never mind.
How did we end up here again?
Who knows? So the point I was going to make, which is going to be moderately racist and get me banned from the show, is that first of all, literally everyone commenting on this story has to do the little I'm not a racist dance before anything they say, which both of you also have done, which is, you know, begin. Now, his comments are clearly reprehensible, and I'm not saying that racism is good, but, comma, dot, 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 dot.
Well, and the other one, the cognate to that is, you can no longer say I'm not racist, but, in order to make a valid observation about any sort of race or culture. Because anytime you say that now, it's been taken as code for I am racist.
Mm-hmm. Right, because we have this whole idea of everything is code. And so, yeah, my point earlier this week was, you know, this hit the news like we had discovered that he was running a literal plantation in his Los Angeles home. If this is the pinnacle of racism in America, an 80-year-old billionaire who pays black guys millions of dollars to play a game,
black chick,
and has sex with a half black woman, if this is the pinnacle of where we are with racism now, we've won. Like, racism is over, basically.
Yeah, but
isn't this
half
is
the
really
problem
what it
that
is.
Some people see all capitalism as slavery, that anytime you're working for someone else, you're a slave?
Yes, that is the underpinning of all of this, including the broader discussion of race, is really about capitalism, ultimately. But if this is all we have to deal with in racism, then fine. I'm happy with our country being like this for the rest of eternity.
Man, I wish someone was racist against short white people who did podcasts in their kitchen.
I think everyone is, according to our audience base.
Banana shit sandwiches!
But so one of the questions that this has raised, which Reason Magazine, which is a libertarian magazine, has brought up, is the question of, does the free market punish racism? Thoughts?
I'm going to go on a different kind of rant here. Are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
I am so fucking sick of giving humanity to non-human things. We personify everything. Does the free market punish racism? No, the free market is not alive. It doesn't punish shit. Do people punish racism? I don't know. Talk to people. Ask them. Don't ask the free market. It doesn't exist. It's not real. The whole idea of the free market does this, the government does that, it's like a goddamn fucking Michael Bay movie. We've got these two things that don't exist fighting each other, making explosions, and everyone's distracted by it without realizing what's really going on.
Well, I think that's the point, because we control the free market, and we as people can choose not to participate in something if they are racist fucks.
Right, but it's a much different statement to say, do people punish racism in the marketplace versus does the free market punish racism? Because it gives personhood to the free market, and it implies that the free market has some control over it or not. When it doesn't, the free market is simply a thing that doesn't have a bias anyway. It's people that have biases.
Do people acting in a free market punish racism?
Racists don't, and non-racists do. Mm-hmm. Unless they don't give a shit about racists.
In our culture, right now, do people acting in a free market punish racism?
I don't know.
I would say yes. Because I think people are overly sensitive to jump on anything, even half racist, even if it's not racist, that you're saying someone else's theory on a podcast, people will jump on it and say it's racist. And they will want to take strides against that.
Did we intentionally write this outline so we could just harp on Clayton the whole time?
Kind of. Well, I mean, we always talk about race issues. We're the only white people in the world who take on racist issues, so.
That means we're racist, right?
It's true, but I embrace the big R.
And you're not white anyway. You're half Mexican.
Ha! Losers. I can say whatever I want.
I'm like a quarter Native American, okay?
Prove it. Show me your headdress. Anyway.
Take this alcohol. Can I test your blankets?
Shut up, Justin.
How much of an animal do you eat? How does this sound to you? Okay, that's enough.
Okay, now you're really racist. All right, let's go. What was I going to say? You completely derailed all of the talking.
I'm just trying to avoid the Star Wars topic.
Typical. All right, so my answer is yes. A free market tends to punish racism. I mean, you can look at that with all the sponsors for the Clippers pulled out and people didn't want to go to the games, et cetera, et cetera. So
they all pulled out because they learned from Donald Sterling you don't want to get your half-black mistress pregnant.
I think in general that the people participating in a free market will punish what is deemed as bad behavior in their eyes.
Yes.
Whether it's racism or like child molestation or anything like that.
Right. The issue is just controlling the marketing and controlling the communications and making it so that people are actually informed enough and have the reasoning skills in order to know what's bad and know what is being bad that's done out there that they can judge it as bad. That's the issue. It's not that people want to allow bad things to continue happening. It's they're either not aware of them or they don't have the reasoning skills to know what bad is.
Yeah. Speaking of not having the reasoning skills to know what bad is.
Yeah, that's why they made another fucking Star Wars, because nobody knows what bad is.
I'm talking about you thinking Star Wars is burned. Star Wars!
Yeah, but you left it so I just flipped it right real easily.
Star Wars 7. The cast was announced.
7, okay.
Yeah, VII.
You don't know Roman numerals?
No, they did not teach Roman numerals in my school, really, because it doesn't fucking matter anymore. No
so,
one uses
so things
them.
They didn't teach Clayton in school. Roman numerals and not to be racist.
So
I say VII when I read that shit. Like, whatever.
Star Wars V.
I say, when I read that, I say, wow, we're going to have more of this shit?
Yes, we're going to have more of it. It's being directed by J.J. Abrams, of course, and he announced the cast 4 days before they were expecting to announce it in a flurry of uproar.
I love how J.J. Abrams' marketing techniques now are, he just announces things before he's supposed to or after he's supposed to.
It's very basic, but it tends to work.
I mean, that's what he did for all of Cloverfield, right? He was like, here's the trailer. Now we won't tell you anything ever. And then the same thing with Into Darkness. He was like, it's not Khan. Or is it? And now he releases these people 4 days early and it causes a uproar.
Well, the uproar, not only about the 4 days early, but also because, shock and awe, there aren't enough women in it.
Who gives a shit?
Women.
Apparently, women do.
do women watch Star Wars?
A lot, yes. Hello, where have you been? You ever been to those conventions? There are like 6 women there.
No, I've never been to those conventions. You know why? Because I was over at the Star Trek convention actually having a conversation about material that was deep.
I just think this is ridiculous, whether it's Star Wars or not. If having more women there is not conducive to the storyline, shitty or not, not that I'm saying Star Wars is shitty, I don't really care.
It's shitty.
I haven't even seen Star Trek, so I can't really be on your side with this. But
it's not an either or. You can hate both of them as long as you hate Star Wars.
So I don't really get the point. Like, there is no, like, it's like, say you had a movie about a bunch of people at a frat house. It would not be appropriate or logical to have, like an equal amount of women and men.
You mean a movie about a frat house like Animal House?
I've never seen that, so I don't know.
Yay, Clayton's playing the role of me this week.
So,
you've seen Animal House, right, Daniel?
Yeah, that's the one with the college, right? Yeah, I've seen it. So this is my least favorite argument around this thing, and it centers around what Clayton is saying. This is from someone at Badass Digest, who I can't tell if is a boy or a girl. And they said, women make up 51% of the population of this planet. We can extrapolate that, even in a galaxy far, far away and in a time that is long ago, that ratio is somewhat the same. Why can we extrapolate that? Anyway, so is Star Wars 7 so very duty?
We don't even know any of the scientific context back then. How do we know they all didn't come from an island that prevented pregnancy and birth?
Right, exactly.
That killed any woman who gave birth.
But this is my whole thing about race, gender, about group think, which is, why do we have to do everything by statistics? Do all movies have to have 51% women, 49% men, have to have 11% black and 7% Asian and 40% Hispanic? And like, what about people in wheelchairs? We have to have a proportionate percentage of people in wheelchairs, people with mustaches, people with blonde hair, people with blue eyes. Where does it stop? This is stupid.
That's funny, because there was a guest star in an episode of Warehouse 13 who was a midget in a wheelchair. And when I was at Disneyland, I think it was last summer, I don't remember when it was, but I went to the Aladdin show and they had part of like the chorus who had to dance around was a midget in a wheelchair.
So when we went to see Aladdin was played by a very light-skinned Asian man, and Faiza, my girlfriend who is from Pakistan, to this day cannot get over it. Like, she is devastated that he was not.
Did she forget that Disneyland's in Southern California and they have a lot of Asians here? That's all it is.
So, like, what about me? Like, I'm half Mexican, one quarter Irish, one quarter French Canadian. My people are never represented on TV. I feel completely discriminated against. I never see my representation anywhere.
What this is goes back to what Clayton was talking about, and it's people who are trying to do it backwards, where they're trying to define the parameters first and then the story second. And it comes from the advent of naturalism, where people are trying to 100% portray reality in art. Rather than portray a selection of reality, you know, emphasize, heightened, in order to make a theme and tell an interesting story, they just want to recreate art 100% in whatever recreate the world, reality, in art, whatever medium that may be. So when you do that, logically, it's going to become statistical.
Yeah, very much so. Well, I mean, fine. You don't want to put as many white men in TV. I don't care. But the determiner should be exactly what Clayton said, which is what is required of the story, mm-hmm. not what is statistically representative of the culture.
Okay. Well, Daniel, you know your Star Wars, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Okay. So in the old movies, was there an even man-female representation? If I remember correctly, because I've seen all the Star Wars.
No, but don't you know everything in America pre-Bill Clinton sucks? Because we really learned how to respect women with Bill Clinton.
Well, you think everything pre-Bill Clinton sucks? Because, well, Star Wars pre-Bill Clinton sucks.
The 80s? Die Hard?
No, it's everything during Clinton's administration sucked. Remember, we should say everyone during Clinton. No, there wasn't an equal representation back then either. Basically, the primary female character was Princess Leia. And she's a badass character. Like, she's an awesome role model for women and young adult girls.
She teaches you how to make out with your brother.
They had one passion kiss. It wasn't making out. There was no hand up the shirt. It was by today's standards, it wasn't even playing on the baseball team, let alone first base.
I blame the incestual rape scene in Game of Thrones between Jaime and Cersei on Luke and Leia in Star Wars.
No. Just no.
No, but the point I was making the joke about the era thing is people would just say, well, they didn't know any better back then. Now, that was a simpler time. They were stupid. So it's not admissible to make that comparison. We know better now, so we should do better now.
Just ridiculous.
I didn't say I agreed with it. I just said that's what the argument's going to be, right?
I know. I'm done with it. It's just too depressing.
Well, maybe I can redeem you a little bit here, Daniel, because I'm going to fire a shot back at these fucking feminists. Whether you're going to complain that Star Wars hates women, well, I'm going to complain that New Girl hates men. Find out how next on TV with Jana.
Put me into syndication. Broadcast to a network station of people viewing their favorite episodes. I can't find a new pitch to throw the studio. Focused on.
Daniel, have you watched New Girl at all?
I saw a few of the early episodes and I couldn't get past the awkward shyness of Zooey Deschanel, so I've stopped watching.
I am up to date.
Right. So, I think she's definitely the worst part of the show, and that reared its ugly head this past week. The enjoyable part of the show for me is all her roommates, right? Max Greenfield is tremendous as Schmidt. Jake Johnson is awesome as Nick. And then they just brought back Damon Wayans Jr. as Coach, and he has added another element to the show that's just hilarious. But the thing this week was, Jess had just broken up with Nick in a previous episode, either the last episode or the episode before. I don't know. I'm not up on my...
You forgot Winston, just like the writers have recently.
I actually don't know the actor's name, and you're right. They don't know what to do with the character, so I just thought I would omit him as kind of an in-joke. Yeah, so she broke up with him recently, and in this episode, she was trying to plan a school dance for her middle schoolers. And the guys wanted to help her feel better. You know, Schmidt, Nick, and Winston, and Coach wanted to help her feel better. But then at one point in the episode, her and her best friend Cece just started insulting the guys that they're friends with, and they just called them all dumb boys. This is right to their face, right? So these are like 30-year-old men. Schmidt has a job in marketing. You know, Nick's a bartender. Winston's going into the police academy. They didn't insult Coach for some reason. I don't know why. But they just flat out said to their face, you're all dumb boys. And then later in the episode, when there were none of them were around, they had this whole, this was the big revelation of the episode that resolved the conflict. They sat around, Cece and Jess, and they talked to each other, and they said, you know, women are really smarter than men, but sometimes we need dumb boys because they'll do dumb things to bail us out. And what happened was, they went and got them, the three guys, Nick, Schmidt, and Winston, And because the lights were out and the power was out, they had them be the entertainment, quote unquote, for the dance. And basically they made asses out of themselves by rapping worse than I did on my Nerdcore EP. So the whole point of the episode was, guys are dumb and we use them to solve our problems because they're not afraid of making asses out of themselves.
Also, don't forget, they also went back to the men are stupid, you know, boys are dumb to soothe the girl, spoiler alert, that was messing up the dance by saying, oh, guys are stupid.
We don't give spoiler alerts for new girls. Who gives a fuck?
Okay. but yeah, so Jess and Cece were trying to comfort her by saying, guys are idiots, that's why they won't dance with you. I was like, no, they don't dance with you because they don't like you.
Right, because there was this little angry girl who didn't want to go to the dance because no boys would dance with her. But then her response to that was to shut down the dance for everyone, which I wonder why nobody wants to dance with you.
Let's be honest.
And it reminded Jess of herself. So their way of pumping her up and talking to her was saying, oh, don't worry about it, boys are dumb. Which, no wonder there's a goddamn gender war in this country. From the time you're young, if men are told you can treat women however you want, and if they don't want you, they're just sluts for other guys. And if girls are told if guys don't want you, they're just dumb and you're smarter than them. Like, no wonder the fucking genders are at war. So, you know, you want to sit here and you want to say Star Wars hates women? Well, look at this crap that new girl's shoving down our face. You know? The whole shoving down our throats. The whole appeal of the show is that there are three guys and Jess is living with them. So you have a marketing platform here to reach both genders. And it's sort of like an updated Friends. Instead, they spew this crap. It almost makes me not want to watch anymore.
It's okay these days to hate men, but it's not okay to hate women.
It's definitely okay to hate white men who are a bit older. And this has been a trope in TV for a while now, right? Since the probably the early 2000s, most prevalently seen in commercials, where the person in the commercial who sets up the disaster that needs to be solved is the white male.
You mean Modern Family?
And usually the white male father figure.
Right. This is why I never watched Modern Family, because I watched the first episode and they had all these disparate, you know, minority groups. And then who was the dumbest one in the whole episode? Ty Burrell playing the father, who is like the goofy white male everybody just put up with.
Right.
And Ed O'Neill's character was stupid too, because he was shown giving into the globalization and the melting pot by marrying the hot Latina, but then not wanting to integrate or anything. So he was like taking advantage of it.
That's also the same in the other large liberal propaganda show, Glee. The biggest dumbass in the entire show is the good-looking, blonde-haired, blue-eyed Sam, or Chord Overstreet.
Oh, I thought we were going to say that it was Finn, and that's why he committed suicide.
Oh, no, but he had... Oh, my God. So, but he had some diversity because he had a gay brother and whatnot, so...
I think the subtitle of this show should be, oh, my God, did you just say that? So, yeah, I don't know. I'm so used to this now that it doesn't even faze me anymore when I see it on TV. I just assume that, as one scholar that I read in grad school put it, that white is just now the absence of culture and personality in TV and movies. So that's me. No culture, no personality, just the oppressor.
You're Mexican, no.
Shut up. So I take this with pride.
All right, let's move on to our binge watch update. Daniel?
Haha, just to spite you, I decided to watch Clone Wars. No, not the 2008 series that is critically acclaimed, but the 2003 series that was not critically acclaimed at all and was canceled after only a few episodes. This was the Clone Wars series that was drawn by the creator of Dexter's Laboratory. And so at first, when you're watching it, all you can think of is, like, when is Dee Dee going to come in and screw things up for the separatists? But so contrary to the 2008 series, which becomes brilliant and really deep, the 2003 series is entirely stupid. Just, it's basically 2 hours
of Star Wars.
I'm gonna murder you in your sleep. it's basically 2 hours of battles. Like, for the first hour, I don't think anyone speaks.
So it's Transformers 2 and 3?
Yeah, it's very, very much like that. And
I actually think Star Wars would be better if it was 2 hours of no one talking. Just give me lightsaber fights.
That's all it was. But the interesting thing about it.
So they just tried to, like, reduce Star Wars to what made it interesting.
Okay, I'm really going to kick you in your shin the next time I see you. Just because. So the thing about Star Wars is that it sometimes gets panned, not for any reason that Justin gives, but because it's too naturalistic in that, like, the Jedis are supposed to be considered, like, these really powerful warriors, but, like, they have a tough time lifting small boulders, and it's really only Yoda, after concentrating really hard, who can lift a starship, things like that.
This is what I don't understand
this
about
series,
Star Wars. I don't understand these things that people fucking argue about. Like, the whole point of the fucking original trilogy is the Jedi are on their last leg. That's why there's a goddamn movie called Return of the Jedi. That's why he doesn't show them lifting shit. Is it that hard to understand? Like, it's fucking simplistic.
No, because, like, in the privacy of the swamp in Dagobah, Yoda could have just snapped his fingers and lifted up that friggin' X-Wing instead of, like, concentrating and looking like it was difficult. And then, so...
Yeah,
my
he's
point.
Yoda. He's the awesome one. He's the remainder of the old Jedi. It's not that complicated.
Listen, who's the Star Wars expert here? You? No. Shut up. Racist. You're trying to impress me because I'm half Mexican.
You're just trying to shout me down. Because I have a different point of view than you. This is a person.
I learn from my leftist brethren. My point is, in this whole thing, is that this 2003 series takes the radically, radically, radically opposite stance. Which is, like, there's a scene where Mace Windu, the only black Jedi with a purple lightsaber.
Samuel L. Jackson,
badass.
I've always loved how the black Jedi has a purple lightsaber.
Yeah, he does. it's just a little bit longer than anyway.
How many times do we have to talk about black penis on this podcast?
I was talking about his lightsaber. You're the one who keeps bringing up a black penis. Maybe that's something you need to come to terms with.
So there's a scene where he is, like, stranded on this planet that is suddenly invaded by literally tens of millions of battle droids, and he single-handedly defeats them all by, like, just waving his hand and destroying 100,000 at a time. And so this series is not only just all action, it's all insanely exaggerated action. Can't recommend it to anyone. If you want to watch something about the history of the Clone Wars in Star Wars, watch the 2008 series, which is very good. This one is terrible.
Are you done?
There, I just criticized something to do with Star Wars. Are you happy?
Next you're gonna criticize the Christmas special and act like that's, like, a big deal.
It's a genius episode.
So, I have been watching something that will piss off the feminists. Do you wanna know what I have been watching?
Debbie Does Dallas?
No, that's kinda gross, but I have been binge watching the Aladdin cartoon series.
Oh. And the Muslims. It's going to piss off everyone. Let's go.
Yeah, is that why, by the way, is that why Aladdin has disappeared from, like, Disney because of 9/11?
Yeah, it's considered a stereotype.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous. I love Aladdin because it's the reversal of the typical Disney story. Usually it's the princess who finds the prince, and then she, like, you know, has all her conflicts resolved and everything's great. But in Aladdin, he starts off poor, and he has to earn his way into the riches and everything, and the conflict being over and the princess loving him. So
right,
I love that it's the reversal of that story.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
Right. So I've been watching that. I mean, it's typical Disney afternoon fare, but, you know, I'm a huge Aladdin nerd.
Mm-hmm.
So
unlike for the things that I love, I'm not going to tell you that Aladdin sucks because it's very good.
Yeah, because it's objectively good. You can't say that it sucks.
I wouldn't, because I'm your friend.
All right, so I will say, you know, if anything happens in that that's any good, but I know there's, like, a Hercules crossover later, so I'm interested in seeing how they do that. But beyond that, there's not really much of note to say in the show. I mean, they did an episode where Jasmine tried to learn how to be a street rat, where Abu tried to learn how to not be a thief anymore. So they're just kind of trying to, I think they're trying to find their footing as far as, hey, this show's a good idea marketing-wise, but story-wise, we don't really have much of one right now.
One question, chronologically, when does this take place in Aladdin?
So the technical pilot for this is Return of Jafar. And Return of Jafar is when they did the story about Jafar being the genie, and they had to defeat him. So there's the original movie, then there's Return of Jafar, then there's the series, and then there's Aladdin and the King of Thieves, which is the final finale of the whole Aladdin saga. Okay. Which I really don't understand. Like, you go everywhere in Disney and they don't have this stuff anymore. You think they would market this and have so much Aladdin merchandise, but there isn't.
Nope, racist.
All right, Clayton, what are you binge watching?
I am binge watching a little slower than I would like of Breaking Bad. I'm actually finding, I mean, I've only got through one episode, which is horrible. I know.
So you're not binge watching, you watch an episode.
No, but I am in the process
what,
of
what did you do on your week suspension?
I worked a lot and weird schedules. I worked weird schedules that kept me from watching it. And I watch a lot of other TV, which is pretty pathetic. But anyways, so I'm actually, like, I really enjoyed the first episode. And the reason being, not necessarily just, like, the episode alone, but because, like, while I am very spoiler-free, I do know sort of where the character goes, that he gets much darker. And even just, like, the visual. Like, I mean, if you went and watched the first episode, you see Walter White with hair, you know, sort of goofy, but then since the series has now ended, I know at the end of it all, you know, he's bald, he looks more like grungy, and he's more known for almost an evil guy, and it's the complete opposite than
no, and evil guy, not almost, he is evil,
an evil guy, yeah. So I like it, like, much like a, go off base for like a Survivor reference. When I rewatch the Survivor season, I go and I focus on the story knowing the end already. So it's interesting because you pick up on different things. So that's what I'm sort of enjoying, is that I get to see like his journey knowing the end, I guess. I don't know the end. Like, I don't know what happens to him. I don't know if he fucking dies or anything. I don't want to look at your face, Justin, because I can probably see on it. Stop. But yeah, so,
I'm sorry, it's not like you were like, I know he like fucks a horse or something.
I also feel that, like, I think in the beginning of the first, what I got out of the reason why he is getting into drugs, I didn't think it was to help his family like he was trying to sell. I think it's because he found out he was dying and he wanted to live a little. Like that country song, Live Like You Were Dying, I think that's what it is with him.
That's the real reason Walter White's evil, everybody. He takes his rationalizations from a Tim McGraw song.
Yes.
No, I mean, Daniel, you saw the first episode of Breaking Bad, right?
Yeah.
What were your reflections on it?
Definitely wasn't the episode that made me watch the series. I thought it was well-constructed, but the plot was a little contrived in the beginning. The sort of whole, I want to, you know, go ride along on with my brother-in-law and see how much money these guys make, that seemed,
it's because he wanted to live a little because he was dying.
It seemed like a silly setup to me. I think the whole first series, the first
British?
Season,
are you British now?
I know, I'm slipping into the Britishness. You always destroy my train of thought. Just make it. It's like Atlas Shrugged in the tunnel, just death and destruction everywhere in my head.
The movie version saying? Or the book version?
Well, the movie version, death and destruction for a completely different reason. But, so the whole first season is good in my opinion, but what made me think the show is a masterpiece is season two and on, so.
Yeah, I didn't like the pilot. I didn't like the first episode. I watched it, and then that made me not watch Breaking Bad for basically the entire run, because I felt like the premiere was pretty typical, and I think it's why a lot of people held on to this idea that Walter White is an anti-hero, because in the first episode, even the first season, he's this guy who, oh, the system got me down, my wife's a bitch, and I have a shitty job even though I'm super smart, so I'm going to resort to these bad things to get what I deserve. And I think a lot of people who buy into this idea that capitalism is destructive and it's hurting their lives and it's everyone else's fault, they are where they are, saw Walter White as their champion. And that's just like why I didn't enjoy the first episode, because it very much felt like that. That I was supposed to feel sympathy for him for all these things, but I really just felt like he had a dour approach to everything. And I felt like that before he got the cancer diagnosis. I mean, really, I think that's the moment you're supposed to feel sympathy for him. But if you want me to feel sympathy for him, you can't set him up as a depressing moron before that.
Yeah, well, stick with it, Clayton. I think if you enjoy the first episode, then it'll even be a bigger reward for you as it goes on.
Yeah, if you can get through season one. Season one started to become a comedy for me at some points, but we'll talk about that when you get to those episodes. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to some shows that are coming out soon. The first one is one I find relatively interesting just because I think it proves one of my theories about Lost. And it's that Carlton Cuse is remaking a French series called The Returned for A&E. Have either of you heard of this?
No, I have not.
No, I don't watch French TV.
So, have you heard of Resurrection on ABC?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is basically the same show, except Carlton Cuse is in charge of it. So, basically people who were dead or missing come back, sort of like the 4400. But what's interesting to me about this is, I don't know how Carlton Cuse is going to have time to do this, because this is going to be the third show he's created, and I'm presuming he's going to showrun it as well. Do you know what the other shows he's doing are?
No, I didn't know he was doing anything.
Right. I have no idea who he is, so.
Carlton Cuse is one half of the team that ran Lost after J.J. Abrams was like, I'm out of here, I don't have an ending. Good luck, suckers! He's doing Bates Motel right now.
And really?
Yeah.
No spoilers.
I had no idea.
And he's also doing The Strain with Guillermo del Toro, which is going to come out, which I'm super excited about watching. And that's you didn't even know that about Bates Motel. That's the whole reason I watch it. Because it is my theory that Carlton Cuse was the real brains behind Lost, and he would sit there in a room with Lindelof, and Lindelof would just spout off random nonsense that he thought was cool, and Cuse was like, no, let's do this. Because that makes the sense with that. And he kind of like called the sort of the gold out of the shit, basically. Like he was the 49er of Damon Lindelof shit.
He's the new spider that was just new bacteria that was just discovered that eats waste and produces gold.
Right, exactly. That's exactly who Carlton Cuse was in Lost. And you can see it in Bates Motel, where it's very character driven and it's very paced very well. And you see it has the end points it's building towards. And you're like, oh, okay, that kind of makes sense. Whereas I think in Lost, he was kind of beholden to Lindelof a little bit, because Lindelof made the show and came up with the idea with J.J. Abrams. So it was kind of always Lindelof's kid. And I feel like J.J. Abrams was like, I need someone to chaperone Lindelof if I'm gone here. Hey, Cuse, can you come in here and do this? And, you know, Cuse is Harvard educated. He studied American history. So this is a smart guy who knows his stuff. And it's not a surprise to me he's getting all this work, whereas Lindelof's doing what? Destroying Star Trek?
So is Cuse the old guy or the younger guy with glasses who's neurotic?
Based on my description of him, wouldn't he be the old guy?
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, he's the old guy with like the poofy hair. He's the guy who looks like he went to Harvard.
Yeah, okay, Lindelof, just making sure.
Lindelof looks like the guy who got mad about the kids who went to Harvard in high school because he wasn't smart enough to get into Harvard.
Yeah, just making sure.
Yeah, so I think...
Or rich and well-connected enough.
Well, if we want to go and say we're all Walter Whites, maybe. But, so it'll be interesting to see if the show's any good. I might give it a chance just because it's Carlton Cuse. I don't know how he's going to have time to run three shows, but he's starting to move up in my pantheon of showrunners and show creators, and I'm really starting to revere him a lot, because I think he's proven the quality with Lost and with Bates Motel. So Bates Motel is wrapping up its second season. So I'll talk about that on maybe this podcast or the next podcast or the one after that once the season's over as a whole. Other shows that are coming out. We have Steven Spielberg is getting involved with more summer television. The show Extant, is that how you say it?
Extant,
yeah. Starring Halle Berry. The trailer was just released. Did either of you watch the trailer?
No.
No.
Halle Berry bores me.
And that's pretty much how I felt about it. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing to me about this, though, is that Spielberg has like this sort of relationship where he makes sort of sci-fi. I watch his other sci-fi summer series on TNT, Falling Skies, which is decent. It's all right. But it's also that I really like the advent of summer series. It doesn't make sense to me in today's day and age where streaming's available and everything that network television should take a break for the summer. I just think that's kind of old and an archaic model that needs to die.
Right. So, what are you going to do? Go outside? Jesus.
The point is, why is summer the arbitrary time? Because kids aren't in school? Like, are teachers the only one who watch TV to distract themselves from how disruptive their children are and their students are?
Yeah. I don't know. Why did that come across? Come along anyway? Do you know the history of that at all?
No, I actually don't know the history of that at all. I would assume it's because people need breaks. And they don't want to just film all year for these actors and directors and everything and writers. I mean, with the insane production schedules, I think people would literally go insane if that was the case. You need some sort of a time off.
And I think it also gives, like, the shows opportunities to have cliffhangers and make people want to come back for more. Like, they're waiting for something, so you're more excited.
Like, the executives give a shit about story integrity and making the stories interesting. They just want people to keep tuning in. So yeah. I don't know if Extant's going to be interesting. I don't know if Halle Berry's going to actually pull it off. I mean, the only thing she's ever been able to pull off well in movies is her shirt. So we'll see what happens with this, but I just hope more summer series keep showing up. I just hope they're better than things like Under the Dome, because that wasn't very good.
Is her career like that in the toilet, that she's going for like a TV show now?
And that's more a factor of the way movie economics work nowadays. Unless you're a big star who can pull in big bucks, you go to television and you make a television series like Kevin Bacon's been trying to do for years.
I don't know if that's coming back.
I have no idea, but that's what he's been trying to do for years. Christian Slater's been trying to do it too, right? It's the whole
McConaughey now.
Well, that's not the same thing, though. He's a big-time actor because he just won the Academy Award.
Yeah.
But the whole middle class of actors has been destroyed because you're either a small-time TV actor and you get all these parts and you keep playing dead bodies in all the CSIs, or you keep starring in all of these Michael Bay or Marvel movies. But in between there, it's really hard for them to find work because those are the only two types of projects that are really available. So if you can become the lead on a show, you get good money. I mean, think about how much money the Friends made on Friends when it was huge at the end. They were making millions per episode.
Yep.
So if you can pull down that, isn't that the same thing as being a movie star? Everyone knows who you are because it's Cheers, and you make all that money.
Yeah, for anyone interested in that, more in that world, I just watched a documentary on Netflix called The Guy Who Is In That Thing. That guy who was in that thing about the basically, the people you see on TV all the time, but who aren't major motion picture stars and their whole life.
I feel like having such a big, well-known star makes it harder for me to buy into them in, like, a series role. Because I feel like when you have, like, the lesser-known people as the leads in a series, you buy into them as a character and get to know them as a character. Well, if I see Halle Berry walking around, I'm going to be thinking about Halle Berry, not her character.
You're really going to be thinking about Halle Berry's chest, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you going to really be thinking about Halle Berry as Storm? The whole time you're like, I can't take this seriously, she destroyed Storm. Speaking of big name actors taking television roles, Patrick Stewart is starring in a new show called...
Who?
Blunt Talk.
Blunt Talk, by Seth MacFarlane. But here's the interesting thing. It's by Seth MacFarlane, but it's actually by the guy Jonathan Ames, who did that show Bored to Death on HBO. By the way, I was momentarily thrown off there because he was like, who?
Wait, I legitimately do not know who Patrick Stewart is.
Oh, my God.
Justin's giving me the evil eye right now. I
don't even know what to do right now.
That's it.
General
Podcast
synopsis
Hansen.
Of who this human being is.
All right, Clayton has now been suspended for 2 weeks for not knowing who Patrick Stewart is.
Which is a worse offense than being a racist.
That is a worse offense.
I thought we were talking about the little pink guy in SpongeBob.
We will be talking about Patrick Starr in Yahoo Answers Answers, but no, that's not the same guy. Patrick Stewart is the bald British guy who played such iconic roles as Professor X and Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the Starship Enterprise.
So the wheelchair guy from X-Men?
Yes, the wheelchair guy from X-Men. Yes, that's who we're talking about.
Why is he hosting a pop culture podcast? Just kidding. I know. You should have heard a couple weeks ago. I had no idea what the fuck was going on.
That you didn't know who Patrick Stewart. No, I'm just kidding. To your credit, binge watched The Next Generation.
I did, in fact. This is a show I can get behind. I think this is going to be funny, not only because Patrick Stewart is hilarious and Seth MacFarlane is hilarious, but because I like the premise.
What do you like about it?
Blunt Talk is a character-driven comedy revolving around Walter Blunt, Patrick Stewart, a British import intent on conquering the world of American cable news. Through the platform of his nightly interview show, Blunt is on a mission to impact the wisdom and guidance on how Americans should live, think, and behave. So it's basically the story of Piers Morgan. Which I think is hilarious. Because I find Piers Morgan funny to laugh at. So I can totally get behind this.
So this show is going to end with it being canceled, and it's going to start with him on Celebrity Apprentice?
Plus, it's a British main character set in America, which is always hysterical to me.
Yeah, I mean, I like the premise like you do, but I also like that Patrick Stewart is in it with Seth MacFarlane, because I don't know if you've seen a lot of American Dad, but he's hilarious on that show. Like, the things they have him say, he says it, and then you're like, really? They got Patrick Stewart to say that?
He's Deputy Director Bullock, right?
Right, and that's like where half the humor comes from, where it's just like, he's constantly hitting on Stan's daughter and stuff, and just doing the most obscene shit. And you're like, really? Patrick Stewart?
Who is he in American Dad?
He just said it. He's Deputy Director Bullock.
So Stan's boss.
Oh, okay.
So, and yeah. It looks like him too, the bald guy.
I watch it like on reruns. Like, it's on for like an hour, mm-hmm. like 6 or 7 or something like that. Mm-hmm. So that's all my exposure to American Dad.
Right.
I like
Clayton, there's this medium called television. And basically what they do is they give stories in a series, and people enjoy them over time.
Right. So, but my concern with this show is it's done by Jonathan Ames, the guy who, like I said, did the show Bored to Death, which bored me to death. I don't know if you ever watched it, but it was about hipster guy who played the villain in Scott Pilgrim, played a private eye, and his friend was Zach Galifianakis. And there was also Ted Danson, and basically they were all high the entire time. So it was just really boring. So I'm not sure if that creator showrunner will be able to handle this.
Well, I think basically, has Seth MacFarlane done anything that's really bombed? I mean, the Cleveland Show wasn't a resounding success, but it stayed on for a while. It's probably still on, I think, and it has a viewership, but has he done anything that's just completely stunk?
I'm pretty sure 69 Ways to Die in the West is gonna stink.
Well, that's yet to be seen, but as far as we know, he really hasn't done anything that's bad.
Right, he taps into the whole current American culture of it's very stylized, but there's not a lot of substance. So he has a good way of doing that. So we'll see what happens with it. It'll probably be a hit. I mean, honestly, I'll probably watch it because of Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, let's move on to Even Blunter Talk with Yahoo Answers. Clayton, take it away.
First question, how do you talk like a normal person?
I'm not sure we're the right forum to be asking this question.
Yeah. Is this written by the kid from Look Who's Talking Now? Is this written by a baby?
Wow, that is quite the reference there. And you were just saying you didn't have chops for this podcast.
I just, like, who formulates this kind of question?
First of all,
someone with Asperger's?
What is considered a normal person? Are they talking like someone that is like socially acceptable? Or do they mean normal as in not like mentally handicapped?
It's someone who talks like these.
Who are you impersonating now?
And are they talking about
no one?
The actual way you speak, as in like your voice, what it sounds like, or the type of speech you use?
I thought they were talking about a person from Normal, Illinois, which would mean you'd have to have a slight southern drawl, but also be really dumb.
This question needs a lot more to actually get even half an answer.
Maybe you should ask, how do you ask Yahoo Answers like a normal person?
How do you talk like a normal person? Visit the Midwest, speak like they do, end of story.
You don't think there's like a deeper like existential question here?
How do you talk like a normal person?
What are you trying to be Nick Cage now?
Shatner. But yeah, no. I don't think there's a deeper existential question here. I don't know who this is formulated by.
And with that, we'll go to our second question. Why won't anyone take what I say seriously? Question mark.
Well, you really want me to answer that question, Clayton?
I am a vegan.
There you go.
Who is just...
Stop right there.
Yes, I am a vegan who is just looking out for everyone.
Okay, stop right there.
Especially the animals. That was me, not the quote. When I'm on Facebook,
there you go.
Stop right there.
I like to post about the risk involved about eating meat and how humans shouldn't eat it, period. Not good. Even dairy is bad for them, yet I still get ignored, period.
Maybe it's because you're not getting your opinions from fact.
All your lettuce. Bad? All your lettuce are belong to us, is what it says next. This is my ultimate argument against vegans, which is I throw my mouth open and point to my incisors, and then I'm like, everything you say is wrong. We are supposed to eat meat. The end.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is just the opinion I always hate, is they say these things hurt you in some way, therefore they're bad. Everything you do from that perspective hurts you in some way. There is not a way to exist without being hurt in some way. Because in that way, they're saying that anything that leads to death is bad, right?
Right.
Life leads to death. Therefore, life is bad. It's just, the logic is so baseless. Like, what percentage of milk hurts you? And what percentage helps you? All I know is, I went through a time, when I was young, I drank milk all the time. And then when I was older, I stopped drinking milk. Within the last year, I've started drinking a glass of milk a day. You know how much healthier and better I feel?
Milk.
I mean, okay, that's anecdotal, right? So everyone's going to go, that's anecdotal, you're an idiot. And that's how you talk like a normal person. But the point being is it's not as simple as that thing does something bad to you, therefore it's bad. Mm-hmm. It's just so asinine.
Well, I think a lot of these people like have these crazy, weird, like, diets that they're on or whatever. People like paleo, for instance, like they're taking that, you know, fucking cavemen or whatever's body couldn't digest certain things, therefore that means we should not be eating them. No, our bodies have evolved and adapted over time to now be capable of ingesting and digesting certain things. Like, these people are just uninformed idiots.
Paleo are like the anti-vegans.
They're both fucking retarded.
Well, here's my thing to vegans too.
How
other than
dare
the pointing
you use
to...
that word?
How
and that's
dare
how you,
you
talk like a normal person.
Other than pointing to the incisor things, steak tastes good.
Well, you know, I'm not a steak person. I will say that I don't want just a big piece of meat and eat it. Like, that's not my thing. I want sauce, some flavoring.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Yes.
Based upon some of your comments, I'm not so sure.
Yes. But, like, I never got the point of just a slab of meat. Like, I want, like, a burger or, like, an actual meal made out of it, not just a fucking piece of meat.
Now, bring me a giant hunk of cow. Put on the grill for about 40 seconds, and then a knife and a fork.
I can
dinner. Hear. Dinner. It's delicious.
Okay, and now our third question is a good name for my travel blog / Facebook page? Question mark. In about 9 months, I'm going to start traveling full-time around the world. I'd like to make a blog / Facebook page so that my family / friends / other travelers can follow me. I'm drawing a blank. Ellipses. Adventurous Amy? Question mark. Something that's not already taken by someone else. ... They didn't finish their ellipses. Any ideas? My name is Amy and I live in MA, which I assume is Massachusetts, if that helps at all, dot, dot, dot.
Well, my first piece of advice is you might want to take more than 9 months off and maybe get rid of some of that pregnancy weight first and get in shape before you go on your trip. I mean, why 9 months? It's like, it has to be pregnancy, right?
Why would
she be traveling the world with a new baby? That doesn't make any sense, Justin.
She's not traveling the world. She's, quote, traveling the world, meaning she's staying home.
How do you know she's not like an in vitro, like they impregnated her and she's going to give the baby away, so she's just a carrier and she wants to run away to get away from her sorrow?
Maybe.
This
make a better
really,
movie.
This became really dark.
I think she should call it slash travel.
That's not bad.
Or chasing Amy.
Oh, that's better than either of the two I came up
really
with.
That's really good, actually.
Yeah, what were the two you came up with?
Ambling Amy.
It's not bad.
And Amy from MA.
I'll go with No One Gives a Shit.
But Daniel, am I correct in hearing that your theory is she's just going to pretend to have a travel blog and not actually go anywhere?
Yeah, she's going to do a lot of Google Street viewing and stay home and eat some Haagen-Dazs. Who travels for nine? Where is she getting this money? Is she rich?
And moving on to our next question. Can someone fill me in on what happened in the Amazing Spider-Man 1 in parentheses? I'm going to watch the second one with some friends today, but hadn't had time to watch the first one today. Can someone summarize what happened in the Amazing Spider-Man 1? Spoilers allowed. Duh. just so I can go with a bit of knowledge to the showing today. Thank you very much. Exclamation, exclamation.
Do you not know what Spider-Man is?
Or why are they going on Yahoo Answers to ask this? Why can't they just find a fucking synopsis somewhere online? Why are they waiting to see if someone writes back and answers them?
I think that's my favorite thing about Yahoo Answers is people apparently think it's Google.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not Google.
It's like the worst search engine in the world. But no, what happened in The Amazing Spider-Man 1 was they killed Spider-Man. And what I mean by that is it was an awful, awful movie.
You didn't like it.
I think that was apparent by me saying it was an awful, awful movie.
Sure. I'm just asking for clarification. Fuck.
It is very, like, usually in a movie when I see it and it's bad, I'm like, okay, I understand what they did. Literally, when I was watching this movie, I wanted to rearrange scenes as I was watching them. Like, I was sitting there going, that scene should have gone at that point in the movie, that scene should have gone later, this scene should have been omitted. Like, I was editing the movie as I was watching it. That doesn't happen.
Only you would do that.
I can't have been the only one. It was that bad. Plus, they killed the best character, Dennis Leary.
Of course, Dennis Leary is the best character in everything he's in.
Because he's from Worcester, Massachusetts.
I thought this was the movie starring the grumpy cat who hates Mondays and loves
lasagna. Is it actually pronounced like that, or did you pronounce it like that in like a Boston accent? Worcester?
Well, Worcester, it's Worcester, but I said Worcester.
That's
yeah.
What I thought. Okay. Just checking.
Wait, why do you think this is Garfield?
Isn't that the... You're not getting the connection.
Oh, Andrew Garfield.
Yeah, thanks, Smarty. But what happened is that he had too big a hair and he couldn't get the mask on, and so everyone died. That's what happened in the first one.
Right. So what happened in the first one is that the father died, and what happened in the second one is the daughter died. So spoiler for you there. Very obscure spoiler, but you'll figure it out if you see it. Basically, the first movie sucked. The second movie apparently sucks too, so whatever. I mean, I'm a big supporter of the original one that's with Sam Raimi. I know it's kind of in vogue to hate it right now, but the one thing the second movie did get right, or the new trilogy does get right, is Spider-Man is a sarcastic smartass, which they didn't really have in the original trilogy.
The original, what's the, you're not the
Tobey Maguire
one?
Right, that's the original trilogy. Yeah. So I much prefer the first one in that, but, you know, whatever.
Just so it's on record, I hated the first trilogy before it was cool to hate the first trilogy.
The new thing apparently is to say that the Green Goblin looks like a Power Ranger. Have you heard this?
No, but that's hysterical.
I guess. I liked it. I thought it was really cool, and I bought an action figure.
Okay, and on to our last question. Poll: How could or should Patrick Starr die?
Not Patrick Stewart, Patrick Starr.
Patrick Starr. I really want him to die already. He has no purpose whatsoever. He is nothing but an obese, ugly, smelly retard. Period.
Now, let's be fair.
Did Justin write this?
Can they tell he's smelly?
It sounds more like your voice, Clayton. No, actually, I was wondering the same thing, Dan, when I read this question. I was like, how do you know he smells?
Do you live next to the pineapple under the sea? Is
SpongeBob still on? It's like still making new episodes?
I think so.
Really? That's a good question. I don't know. To the internet!
Did they pick up a starfish once and smell it and think it was... It's Patrick? Is that what happened?
I think so.
The funny thing about this question is I found it and then 5 minutes later it was deleted. So we're the only people in the world who have ever answered this question.
Yes.
I think they should do some weird, like almost Lost-esque thing at the end where they're all
in a church.
No, where they're all actually
none of it mattered.
Like dead inside of a fish tank in like a dentist's office. Like they're all actually in Finding Nemo's tank.
Because they all actually found each other and loved each other and that's all that matters, not all the adventures they went through and the things they learned.
You just spoiled the end of Lost for me, by the way.
Okay, I just saved you the sixth season.
Good.
Watch the first five and then that's the series finale.
I have watched the first five. I haven't watched Lost season.
Oh, well then I just saved you. What are you talking about? I didn't spoil anything. Yeah, come on, man. You should thank me.
Yeah, so the most recent episode is from March 29th, 2014, wow. So they are still making episodes.
Was there one where they established how Patrick Starr smelled?
I believe they've had something along the lines of him not, like, grooming or being lazy about his personal hygiene, or probably something like that.
Go ahead.
This is how Patrick Starr should die. He should die of old age, standing over the grave of whoever wrote this question.
Also, it says he has no purpose whatsoever. The fucking show has no purpose whatsoever.
What are you talking about? It's deep philosophical genius.
I just want to take... I have a problem with that claim that he has no purpose. He's the sidekick on the show. The sidekick has a purpose.
I said the show had no purpose. That's why I said that question was... Or that statement was stupid.
The show's purpose is to entertain.
Well, I think it sucks, but... It's my Star Wars.
Well, I don't know. That's a little strong.
Also, they say they really want someone to die, and the reason they say it are if someone's ugly, obese, smelly, or retard. So do they want obese people? Do they want mentally handicapped people to die?
So what you're saying is this question was written from Germany.
Yes.
Where the Uber people live.
All right, let's keep this SpongeBob death talk going with Crush, Kill, Destroy. For those of you who don't know, Crush, Kill, Destroy is our version in the mid-side of Fuck, Marry, Kill. So I basically give three famous people or three characters, and anyone who's a panelist today must decide which one they want to crush, which they want to kill, and which they want to destroy. So Clayton has been bragging in the break about his awesome answer, so let's have him go first.
Okay, so I have not heard your Crush, Kill, Destroy, so I don't know the exact meanings you attribute to each of them.
There are any meanings you want. That's why our game's more creative than Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Okay, perfect. Well, I think the easy person to crush would be Patrick. He lives under a fucking rock. Okay, so you crush Patrick. I think you then...
But is it because he's an obese, smelly retard?
No.
Is it because he's black?
He's not.
He's what?
He's pink.
Racist.
But then you kill SpongeBob because he's a fucking sponge. I don't know. You just kill him because I have a better reason to destroy Squidward. I think destroying doesn't mean they necessarily die. It means you make them suffer and you ruin them and just fuck their life over. And Squidward is sort of the villain, or I guess the antagonist, to SpongeBob. So I would say you would destroy his life. And that's why you would destroy Squidward, crush Patrick, and kill SpongeBob. So he doesn't have to deal with everyone
First
else.
Of all, Squidward is not the villain. The villain is that little...
I've been watching it wrong.
The little one-eyed guy.
Oh, the little, like,
Plankton.
Plankton, who's trying to steal the formula for the Krabby Patty. That is the villain. Squidward is the guy whose life is destroyed by SpongeBob already. So you've basically punted on that part of the question by saying, I'm just going to let Squidward's life continue indefinitely, which I suppose is sort of humane. Daniel, you want to go?
Sure, I guess. I would kill Patrick, primarily because Patrick has always annoyed me to a certain degree.
Is it because he's an obese, smelly retard?
No, it's more that he always tends to screw up SpongeBob's plans. Like, SpongeBob has this sort of benevolent worldview, and Patrick comes along and destroys everything, and then at the end they're still friends for some reason.
Well, right, that's the purpose, that's his purpose in the show. SpongeBob is like the benevolent kid, Patrick's like his annoying sibling who screws things up, and Squidward is the adult who can't deal with any of it. It's the same thing every episode.
Yeah, I don't like it, so I'm gonna kill him. Probably by putting him out in the sun.
Well, I see what you did there. And then are you going to make a, like, fifth grade project about him?
Right, exactly.
Because that's what the American education system is. We do starfish projects in fifth grade.
Yes. I would crush...
I like mummies.
What? I would crush SpongeBob's enthusiasm just a little bit. I like that he's benevolent. I like that he's a go-getter. I'm ready.
If you crushed him, it would squeeze the water out.
Yes, it would. But I just want it toned down just a little bit.
So it's no longer the best day ever. It's just the, you know, this is a normal average day.
Somewhere between those two. And then I would destroy Squidward's home. Not Squidward himself, but his home. He needs a completely new house. That thing that he lives in that looks sort of like looks like an Easter Island face. No. Get yourself...
I'm pretty sure his house has probably been destroyed in the show at some point, and they just bring it back because of cartoon rules.
Get yourself a duplex, maybe with like a gate to keep out SpongeBob, something.
First off, he can't afford that.
Something with some soundproofing. He's a TV star. Of course he can afford it.
And if he did the gate, SpongeBob would take that as a reason to come over, because he would think, oh, look, Squidward put in the new gate. That means he wants us to try it out. When Squidward would be like, no, it means the opposite. Don't you understand anything, you idiot? And that would be a whole episode.
So what you're saying is that you are a writer on SpongeBob. So how about you? How about you? What is your objectively correct answer here?
All right, the objectively correct answer is much more humane than all of you. I would crush SpongeBob because of the SpongeBob movie. Have you ever seen it?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yes.
The funny thing I'll always remember from the SpongeBob movie is at one point, a boot tries to step on him, and he goes, a big boot! And then he gets away, and then an even bigger one comes, and he goes, a bigger boot! So it would just be funny to see him do that again and then get crushed.
Another door.
Right. For some reason, I love that style of humor. Which is really funny. Another door! Another door! Another door! By the way, comment if you figured out that reference, if you know what it's from. 50 points for you, Glenn Coco.
50?
And then I would kill Squidward just to euthanize him, to put him out of his misery. He deserves it. He's earned it at this point.
He's earned euthanasia.
He's earned it. He deserves it, man. I mean, SpongeBob, man. Like, he just...
What a neighbor.
I can't watch the show. Yeah, he's like... It's like the show The Neighbors, except there's nothing redeeming about SpongeBob in the end. And then, finally, I'd destroy Patrick just because I have to destroy someone, and I think he's an ugly, smelly retard in black.
So you wrote the question.
Do you like how I set that up there?
Yeah, that was... What a twist!
Yeah, that in the business is what we call foreshadowing. All right, Daniel. Are you ready to say what you learned this week?
Yeah, totally. So I learned that anarchists love the government and hate small entrepreneurs trying to make their lives better.
What about you, Clayton? What did you learn?
I learned who in the hell Patrick Stewart was.
Which is a travesty. You should have learned that a long time ago.
I knew who he was, I just didn't know his name.
Damn you, public education!
He is the guy in the wheelchair.
Yes, that's who he is. Face palm.
And one day Peter Dinklage will only be known as the midget.
Yes.
The world we're living in. I have once again learned that we still need a new third host, so come on and try out. We're still looking out there for tryouts. But no, if you're enjoying the podcast, as always, hit us up with a 5-star rating on iTunes, share it with a friend, and if you want a chance to read the Yahoo Answers, questions, another word to go here, possessive word, hit us up. We're currently in talks with Drew. We're negotiating his deal, so we're going to get him in at least a 1-episode guest spot, and maybe we can get you too, and if you don't, something about wasting your time. Bye. You're wasting all my time.